Appreciate that this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. 2 Peter. And then we'll be flipping to John 6. Thought I knew where I was going to be heading, and I just need to quit doing that. You get to praying, and the Lord tells you where to go. I'm trusting the Lord today. I believe you are too. I wanted to share. We were able to give an offering for Brother Ernie, and it helped him to take care of his kids' tuition and stuff to go to school and things like that. So praise the Lord, be able to help out our brother out there on the mission field, take care of a need that he might not have been able to otherwise. So praise God for that. Now let's just read. Let's go to verse 8. Just 2 Peter 1, verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. John chapter 6. John 6. And let's go to verse 56. We'll start at 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. He said, and he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. This was a thought I thought I'd put off a little bit longer, but I just felt compelled praying about it. I'd like to preach today. We're still talking about the original has returned. Does this offend you? Yeah, I don't know if we're all going to be screaming and shouting the aisles. But I feel very pressed to preach this morning. Does this offend you? Let's bow our heads together. Each one as we respect God's presence. Do you have a need you like to lift up, saying, Lord, I know that the Word is what provides my needs today. I come to hear from you. God bless each one, hands all around. God sees your hands and He knows your heart. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for bringing us into the house of God where we could be doing anything else, but there's something on the inside that hungered for you, Lord, and you told us to come together. You told us that if we would gather two or three of us, that you would be in the midst, Lord. And we come with faith in our hearts that you're already here now. But Father, this Bible's laying here. It doesn't do us any good. This letter will kill us. But if the Spirit can come and take this word off the pages and put it into every heart that's here, it'll be life. Just as you said, your word is spirit and it is life. Grant it to each one that's here today. Move my thoughts aside, Father. May there be no human part to this. May it be the unction that I believe you've given to me. May you be able to speak, Lord, and feed every child of God that's here today. If we're wrong, Lord, oh God, forgive us. Show us where we've erred in the way. May you bring us back to the path we ought to walk. If there's anyone here who's lost, may they find salvation today. If there's anyone here that's empty, running dry, Father, may you come and quicken that soul. But do what no man can do, Lord. If there's anyone that's sick in body, I know that you're here to heal, that you always want to heal. And may their faith rise to that point where you can heal, Father. Commit this service into your hands. We thank you so much for being here, Lord, for there's no point in being here if you're not, but you're faithful. And we thank you for it. We praise you for it. Speak to us now, we ask. In the name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I keep feeling like one of these days we'll actually get to building that perfect man up one step at a time. But as I'll get to it in a minute, but there's a lot of times where we need to learn, I think, first by the law of contrast. You know, instead of necessarily pointing at what we want to be, we need to sometimes go to what we don't want to be. And we need to get that, you know, get all the shadowy parts. As Brother Branham, I might as well paraphrase it. I'll probably read it later. He said, you wouldn't really appreciate the sunshine unless you had a dreary day. Can you say amen? Just today, you can say amen about that. Because we've been having dreary days and cloudy days. And even if it's cold, I don't really care as long as the sun's shining. God help us to do that in the church. It might be cold and formal. Someone don't want to praise. But as long as the sun's shining in my life, I can still raise my hands. And I can get warm just by that. Amen. That's right. And if you get in the right atmosphere, it's just like sitting out your car where it just creates an atmosphere of heat where nobody else knows what you're talking about. They're outside shivering. Well, yeah, you're not in the atmosphere. Get in the atmosphere one time and you won't just be cold, dead, and formal. You'll have something worth praising God for. Hallelujah. I've learned in this age that, it just gets more and more and more prevalent how easily people get offended anymore. You know, it used to be you could have a civil conversation with somebody. You could agree to disagree and we'd all move on and no big deal. But anymore, my goodness, if you don't see everything the way I do, man, you are serpent seed. And they'll take things that Brother Branham or even the Bible, which I'll get to that in a minute, or it is the absolute. The Bible is the absolute. But God is not known by intellect. He's not known that you figured it out and nobody else can, and they better figure it out the way you did or they ain't got it. That ain't the way God works. He doesn't build by intellect. He builds by revelation. Amen. He builds by His promise. Amen. God's the one who gets to decide what His Word meant because He said it. Amen. You know, if I read a book and I wanted to know what it's all about, I'm going to tell you right now, even in college they do this, you know, you'll go read a book and they'll get a bunch of English professors together to let you know what it's all about. And they'll say, you know, in this scene, the curtains are blue and that stands for depression and that's why the guy was sad at this time and everything else. Well, if I want to know why the curtains are blue, why don't I just go ask the author? You want to know why they're blue? Because he wanted them to be blue. That's nothing to do with anything. And I have to take the author's word for it, not some other person's opinion. Glory to God. In this age, we didn't have to go find someone's opinion. God came Himself and told us what He meant in the Word. And things that used to be confusing, things that used to look like darkness, the light has shined. And we got to see God when He pulled the seals back and said, come back here, see who I am. Hallelujah. And if we'd only would have known how simple it was, that what He was trying to show you is that you were back there. But as we get here in 2 Peter again, for if these things be in you, and he's talking about the stature of perfect man, and as I said, at some day, I think the Lord willing, we'll get to that, but just haven't been able to go that direction just yet. But if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things. See, a lot of people wouldn't take this statement. You say, you can't tell me I'm blind. I've been saved. That's fine, but that don't mean you're still walking inside. You can willingly put your hand right back up and say, nope, I don't want to see it. And that's where I find many Christians, how easily they get offended, is when something, they love hard preaching until it's something they're doing. And then it's we believe in grace all of a sudden. But that brother over there, you know, when he did that, I'm going to give him peace of my mind. Well, what are you doing over there? Oh, no, that's okay. And it ain't just some guy in the corner that's hiding there. Ministers go through this stuff. I've dealt with it more in the ministry than I have with laity. Most of the laity, at least, be honest with themselves. But see, what happens is we get into it's so easy to slide right into a Nicolaitan spirit. Where all of a sudden, just because I'm a preacher, I'm held to a different standard. Oh, well, you might be, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's a higher one. It ain't a lower one, that's for sure. But why? Because whatever a man of God, as we've said before, if he gets a complex, the devil can get that complex instilled in a whole group of people. So yeah, he comes after the ministry, and the ministry should live above reproach. That's right, and it is. It's a fearful thing sometimes. You think you just say one comment just a little wrong and what kind of damage that can create. Yes, sir, especially when you're a minister. But he that lacks these things is blind. Peter didn't say that, you know, it's all right, you know, we'll work with it or something. No, if you don't have this, you're blind. You can't see who you are. You don't know where you're going. If you ain't got faith, you don't know what you're doing. If you don't have virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience working in your life, you're blind. You're walking around with the Word of God in you, yet you can't use it for anything. Oh, God, help us. We find ourselves in that condition. It's time to come back to the Word and say, Lord, that's all right. I'll say amen. Does this offend you? When the Word comes and it tells you, you know what? You're blind. I didn't say you weren't saved. Let's read the rest of the verse real quick. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his sins. So this is a Christian now. I told you these services the last few times. This ain't for sinners. We're talking about those that's received the Holy Ghost and been brought into Canaan's land and is supposed to be possessing the enemy. If you're walking around blind, it ain't God's fault.
Amen.
It's you. You lack these things. He told you to add it and you said, no, I don't need to. I'm good enough. God saved me. That was it. If you have that attitude, you're not living in that word of this age. You're living of a message 500 years ago. Justified by faith, and that's all we got to do. Well, that's right. But if you ain't manifesting it, then you ain't got the faith you say you do. That's what we need to find out. We need to get ourselves out of everyone else's mirrors and go look at ours and say, Lord, what about me? Am I in the faith? Do I have virtue? Do I have the knowledge of God? Do I believe the Word of God? Do I have revelation to walk the way I'm supposed to? Do I got patience when a brother's in the wrong? Come on now. When I'm right, do I have patience to hold my tongue?
Come on.
Does this offend you? Oh my, I know I was right. God told me, didn't it? Yeah, but sometimes he told you to shut up and wait. You lack these things, you're blind, and you can't see afar off, and you forget that you were purged of your old sins. You're in a condition where God can't move on you no more, where God can't talk to you no more. I just, remember, don't go back and say that I'm saying you ain't saved. I'm hoping you're saved today. I'm hoping you've received the Holy Ghost. But if you're not seeing God begin to manifest Himself out of you, you've left Him somewhere. Jesus got to this point. Actually, I want to talk about the law of contrast. How we see the black, and it does. It points us back to the white again. When you begin to notice things that are wrong, you can almost anymore, really, whatever mainstream's doing, do the exact opposite.
Exactly.
You're going to be right 99% of the time, just right there. Just, you know, everybody wants to wear these clothes. Chances are you don't need to wear that. Everybody likes this music. Chances are you don't want to listen to that. And I'm talking Christian and everything else too. You know, we even had, you know, Brother Josiah was here talking about that spirit of even getting in the message of wearing clothes that looks like the world. That's right. And you don't think nothing of it because we're forgetting how far this world has gone down.
Amen.
We can't call it gray. It's not. It's so black. You can't see your hand in front of your face. He that lacks these things is blind, and he can't see afar off. Why? You're living in a Sodom condition when you're supposed to be a Christian.
Amen.
When you're supposed to be illuminated and living in the promised land. But here comes Peter trying to find these Christians, supposed to be serving them. And he says, but if you lack these things, you're just blind. You're walking around, don't know what you're doing. And what you're really doing is you're just being a hypocrite. You're supposed to be a Christian, and you're acting like a sinner. And that's what Jesus dealt with here when he came to these sinners. And he knew it. Now, they had no redemption for them. He knew that. He said, that's why he said, and Brother Bram said it to this point, he was shaking off the parasites. Does that offend you? A God full of love and compassion that opened His arms wide, and when there's hungry souls came to Him, He fed them, and when He saw sick, He was moved on compassion and said He healed every one. And yet He gets to this point in the ministry where it's time to stand on the Word for the age and say, look, this is the whole reason I've come.
If you don't believe that I'm the Son of God, my death will mean nothing to you, and you will die in your sins. He came to this point. He says, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no life in you.
Tell me where he started explaining it. Tell me where he went through a Bible study with them, because they said, oh, Master, we're just a little confused. No, this was past that point. There was no more time for doctrinal debate. This was either manifest the word or get out.
Right.
And that, again, does that offend you? Because that's where we're at in time. That's the point we've gotten to now. You just feel unctioned. And I believe there's a part in being courteous to people and what they might believe. If I went to a ministry at another church, I wouldn't just go in there and blast them just because. All right, but if the Holy Spirit moves on me, I've got to say it. That's the difference. That's what Brother Branham did too. He said, a lot of these deep things I wouldn't do out there. But when he got to this point, once the seals were open, Brother Branham just preached the word. You know, when he preached the rapture sermons, I have a few friends that were there. You know, Brother Tom and Sister Mary Dillard. They were there. And there wasn't 1 ounce of respect in that building. They were having like a banquet, I believe, and they were rattling plates and hitting them and things like that. Remember, if you've ever listened to the sermon or read it, there's a part where Brother Branham says, like, I believe the lady back there wants the room, wants me to hurry up, and she's back there banging a pan. And he kept on preaching. He probably preached, I think, another hour after that. Why? Because God was done with that. He was looking for the bride. And he said, the bride needs to hear this, and my prophet's going to say it.
Amen.
See, that's why this, for the Christian, was the most glorious time in the world. Because it pulled off every bit of unbelief. Anyone that was a halfway believer fell off to the side, and they were left with pure word.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you don't have any life in you. And he doesn't even say just that. He says, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. See, but they are so far down on a level from him, they couldn't hear his words. But he already told them that. He said, they say, tell us plainly, are you the Christ? He said, I already told you. You don't believe it. Why? He didn't say it the way they liked it. He didn't say it the ecclesiastical way. Doesn't matter. God says it the way he likes to. I think if we knew how stuck up all these devil-possessed people really are compared to God, he's not a big stuck up. He's not proud. He's just the creator. All right? You're not going to do whatever you want when he's the boss. But there ain't another character in the world in any way that's ever been as humble as he is. But even his humility, when it came to this point that the word had to be preached, he preached it.
Amen.
You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no life in you. And what began to happen is, Pastor so-and-so, been in the message for a few years, looked at it a little funny and said, I don't know about that quote. You sure Brother Branham really meant that? You sure he didn't mean it in this light? Come on now. See, we got to quit pretending that this stuff ain't all around us. If we ain't going to be honest, we ain't never going to get the truth in here. And those things are in the message. And it might not just be a preacher, it might be a brother somewhere that's got an idea and he's walking around a one-man denomination. Don't you become one. We ain't no denomination at all. We love the Lord. That's the difference. Why do you serve Him? Why did you come to church? If it ain't because you love the Lord, you're worshiping an idol somewhere. You better be here. And I've said it before and seeing it more and more. Just people's attitude towards church really tells your attitude toward God. And I know, we'll say, well, I always come to church. I didn't say that. I always pay my tithes. I'm always faithful. I didn't say that. I said your attitude. Why did you come? What kind of effort do you put into a service? Why are you putting the effort into this? See, that's what I'm talking about. It's just a little glimpse into how they serve God other ways. And people think, oh, no, that you're just judging everything. I'm sorry, but it is what it is. Does this offend you? When I see saints that can't even pray in the house of God, are you telling me right now you ain't praying at home? When I see saints that can't even read their Bible here, can't even say amen here, you don't say it at home. Come on now. Don't get all quiet. Just get louder. All right? Why? This does offend you? No. Lord, I'm like Peter. I don't know. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. But you've got the words of life. And I'm not leaving.
Hallelujah.
Does this offend you? Well, maybe, but I don't care. That's what we got to get to. I'm so sold out. I don't care if Brother Andrew knows all about my life and just preaches right down the line. I'm not leaving the Word. Jesus, it even says it. Jesus knew what was in them. He had already knew all about their life, and he had no problems preaching right down. Why? Because it was just exposing. They didn't believe it in the first place. Glory to God. He said he knew himself that his disciples murmured. And he said, does this offend you? And we had a thought his response would be, well, you know, let's just show the love of Christ. This was the love of Christ. Which was, if you can't accept that little bit of word, let me bring you the whole thing. How about when you see the Son of Man go back to where he was before he got here? And we think, oh yeah, he's Jesus, he's the Son of God. Well, oh my, hindsight's 20/20, ain't it? What about when the Son of Man came in this age? And said, I'm going to turn around. Said, a woman on the second aisle over there, she's got a heart trouble. I don't even see her. I don't know. Her name is, you think that's Brother Branham? Come on now. The Son of Man was making himself known. Yet they turned around and said, whew, this is a hard saying. I don't know about this. Jesus got to the point where he said that I have to preach the word. It's time. He knew it was coming. He had his Garden of Gethsemane. He had the breakthrough where he knew it's the age of the word to come to its full manifestation. And he had to preach it all. And he said the Son of Man is going to go back where he came from before. He didn't stop there. He said, it's the Spirit that quickens the flesh, profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. So to reject His words that were coming out of His mouth, He wasn't just saying, well, maybe you get the revelation one day. This was time for the revelation.
Amen.
And the revelation went forth and said, my words are Spirit and they're life. If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, if you don't believe that I'm going back to the Father where I came from, you will die.
Amen.
Came that time in the days of Noah where he had 7 days, he got up in the ark, and God shut the door and he had nothing to preach besides you're all dead. So where's the love of God in that? The love of God was the 120 years that he built on the ark and preached the word and told him to get in. And God's love to us, it's His long-suffering. Why do you think we're still here?
Come on!
Us been dilly-dallying around, walking around blind because we've been lacking these things that God already instilled in us because we just disbelieve it and just go on and do whatever we want to do. And the preacher come and preach on us and we'll say, well, that was all right, but that's just his opinion. But it came right from the Word of God and we turned it down. Now, you can't lose your salvation if you're a Christian, but you can sure prolong the process. You sure can make it like the children of Israel. They wandered around for 40 years for no reason. They should have went right in there. I believe we should have went too. But see, God's permissive will works out the perfect will every time. See, those unbelievers there and the children of Israel would never get in. They'd never have the faith to get in. And even in this age, if you can't believe in the revelation that God has given of the seals, of the bride of Christ and who she is, how in the world are you ever going to have the faith for a rapture?
Right. Amen.
It's not a mean like, well, we're just a new denomination and you have to believe this and toe to our line. It has nothing to do with that. It's merely how in the world can you appropriate enough faith to literally walk into a theophany?
Come on.
And tell it it's time to go.
Yeah.
If you don't know that you're a son of God. If you don't know, that means you have the attributes of God in you. You have this pyramid in your soul. And it's not just there laying dormant. It's quickened. You have these things and you're not lacking. You've got an abundance. You've got enough faith for someone else. Woo, glory. You've got virtue to help a brother out once in a while. We're not Christian monks now. I don't know how many of us believe that. Where we just sit and we just go in our little catechisms and we just sit there and do nothing for God. That ain't the way God works. The first thing that He puts out is virtue. And what did Jesus always use that for? Someone else. Let's talk about that law of contrast, and I'll try to actually preach some of this. Here we go. Why do you say this? Or who do you say this is? There we go. Who do you say this is? 1964. See, that's the way we got it. I preached, I believe in this church once, believers, make believers, and unbelievers. Them threes in the group, you have them everywhere. This is three in the group, two. See, the state of the people has always been. We can go way back and prove that that's the state the people always have always been in that kind of condition. Then seeing that it's always been that way, then it makes us prone to believe that God designed people to be that way. Why? He'll make even his enemies praise him. Everything. Paul writing in Romans 8, or 8th chapter said, "O foolish man, can the clay say of the potter, why makest me thus? Doesn't he have power to make one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? What if he had it made no night, you'd never appreciate the sunshine. If he had made all sunshine, you wouldn't know how to appreciate it. What if there'd never been a sickness? You'd never know how to appreciate good health." I can say amen to that. If you get sick, you know, you don't get sick for a while, all it takes is about a day and you appreciate good health again. What if there'd have been no evil people, no evil women? A good woman wouldn't be honored. See, they wouldn't. Honor wouldn't belong to her because it's just all that way. It's just one flat thing. But it's a law of contrast. God makes it thus. One to be so dishonorable to show up the honorable one. One to be so far wrong, if it wasn't, then that would be the right thing. There cannot be a bogus dollar until there is a real dollar. And then the bogus, if it was just a bogus to begin with, then it would be the real one. But it's a copy. There cannot be sin until there's righteousness. Because righteousness is the right thing and sin is the perversion of righteousness. In other words, a truth is a truth. A lie can't be a lie until there's a truth first. To pervert that truth into a lie. So all sin is nothing but righteousness perverted. So that's what we're getting at here. Is for the false to even come to be, there had to be a truth first. There had to be an absolute. There had to be something that was all white. Or that you would never know what black was. And before we dilly-dallied around about that, we didn't know if we had one soul, two souls, if God was one, two, or three, or who's what and where's where. And God opened it to us. And in order to show the light, you've got to expose the darkness. They go hand in hand. It's exactly what Jesus was doing here. He said, "Haven't I chosen you 12? And one of you is the devil." That's right, because Judah's still hanging on. Look, that's the real make-believer. Oh, mercy. Well, I might have to preach on that a little bit now. An unbeliever will get offended quickly. That's why Jesus said it. Does this offend you? And they left. They couldn't hold on no longer. If you say Brother Branham one time and they walk out the door, I wouldn't call that a make-believer by no means. That's an unbeliever. Make-believer hangs on. Make-believer's trying to find a catch. Make-believer's trying to figure out how they can be right and everybody else be wrong. Make believers trying to figure out how they can make a buck off this thing. And that's what Judas did. He stuck around. He said, "Oh yeah, yeah, I believe this. This is great. This is wonderful." But when the woman had a need, or when Jesus had a need and the woman went and broke that ointment for 300 pence or whatever it was and did it to his barrel, who was the one that fessed up and said, "What are we doing wasting this money?" The man after the money. Judas himself. Hallelujah. It's the law of contrast. God had to do that in every age. He had to expose what was darkness so that way we would come back to the light. You can't call darkness just gray. It doesn't put enough alarm on somebody to get away from it. You can't just make poison, "Oh, it'll give you a little tummy ache." No, this poison will kill you. When sin has conceived, it produces death. When we come to what we have to be in this age, we have no choice but to become the Word of God. There's nowhere else to go. There's no less standard. There's no capping. You can go somewhere else. You have to believe the Word for your age. As Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Your flesh does not profit anything. So our feelings, our emotions, our thoughts, the flesh look, and I believe the flesh man and his spirit, all those influences, that will not profit by the Word of God. Yet we base our experience on when we feel good. Right. Or that preacher makes me feel better and just gets me excited, and then I know it's of God. No, sir! Amen. That's probably a good sign you're missing something. Because if it's really the Word of God, you believe it simply because it is the Word of God, no matter how it makes you feel. And there were times where Jesus, if you look at who he's the hardest on, first is these religious devils. He didn't play around with them. He said, "You're of your father the devil and his works shall do." He said, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood or you have no life in you. Get away. But you know who else he was harder on? His own disciples. He said, I've got to go to the cross to die. The Son of Man's going to die and be raised on the third day. And Peter said, you're not dying. That's right. He said he rebuked him right in front of everybody. He said, no, you're not dying.
What?
And Jesus said, well, come here, Peter. Come on, let's go have a Bible study and let's talk it over. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. And we'll get mad when the anointing comes down instead of patting you on the back and say, well, you know, you've been living in unbelief. And it's no, unbelief is worse than you think it is. It's death. It's death in the pot. As a light, we're starting to eat it. We're all going to die. We need something. But there was a prophet to throw the cross in there. Hallelujah. And God has sent the ministry to bring the word to get the poison out. Hallelujah. It's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh doesn't profit anything. Hallelujah. Jesus said it's three times. It's Matthew 24:35, Mark 13:31, and Luke 21:33. I think it's important. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You'll never find where he says anything else has got that eternal quality besides his words. Why? Because he was the word. And everything he said, you know, Brother Bram said, there's only one time we see him even writing. That was in the sand when that woman was going to get stoned to death. He said, because he didn't need to write the word, he was the word. Glory to God. Let me read you some quotes. This is what the bride has to be in this age. We don't have a choice. If you actually don't want a choice, that's the difference. If you are a real Christian, you don't want a choice in the matter. You want what's God's choice, and that's what I want. It's just like I believe Abraham Lincoln said. He said, I'm not worried about God being on our side. I'm worried about finding what side God's on and making sure I'm on that side. That changes everything, doesn't it? I don't want to make sure that, you know, I can make the quotes fit up with my doctrine or the way that I've been taught or the way I believe it. Look, if you're wrong, the Word will expose that. Just accept it. You said, how much doubt do I need? Any.
Amen.
Once you feel that little shaking and something you're trying to hold on to and you're like, well, I mean, I can believe it over here, but something over here just ain't adding up. Drop the whole thing. That's it. Shun the very appearance of evil. See the discrepancy, 65. Now he said, the seed of God, the word of God. Jesus said in a certain place, the word is a seed, and every seed will bring forth of its kind. And now if the Christian, the children of God, the children of the kingdom, has become the seed of God, then they must be the word of God. The word of God manifested in the age that they're living in for the promised seed of that age. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me read you another one. Perfect faith. And look, we can't settle for anything less. That's what I'm really trying. And I hope, does that offend you? Does that offend you that we ought to be at the capstone now, not somewhere down, dilly down around. Not walking around blind, not knowing what's going on, not understanding things of the Spirit. We ought to be the point where God just winks at us and we act. Where God moves on our hearts and we do what He says. We don't sit there in doubt and fluster about it and reason with it. How about when He tells you to get down and pray? How about just that? Let's just start there, church. I think we'll get a lot more success out of everything we do. You never, Brother Bram said, you could study too much, you could read too much. There's one thing you can't do too much, and that's pray. Amen. Brother Bram says this in Perfect Faith, right before, I believe he was, sorry, that's a different quote. Let me read you this one. Now, the identification of a Scripture Christian. These words said Jesus, and it's Mark 16:17, 17 and 18. These signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
Okay? How many knows Jesus said that?
Amen.
How many believes that He's the one that gets to say who's a believer?
Amen.
I need a drink real quick. Thank you, Lord. Now, how can you call yourself a believer, a people, and deny those words? How can you call yourself a believer and deny any of this word? See? You can't do it. You're not a believer. Therefore, signs can't follow because you just accepted what you want to believe and let the rest of it, you don't believe it. But you've got to take the whole thing and believe it. And when you truly believe, not make believe, but really believe, then these signs follow them that believe. Oh, could you compare a Christian today with them Christians of long ago? how the disciples walked in the power of the Spirit, moved by the Holy Ghost, do it just a prisoner, as I preached on the other night. A prisoner to the Word and the will of God. He couldn't even move until God moved him. Wouldn't you like to see a church rise like that?
Amen.
And that's the Word. Don't let the devil come on and attack something and says, oh man, it'd be great to have a church like that, but that's just, oh, man. I bet it's down at Brother Donnie's. I bet it's in Africa somewhere. Now, it is a shame to us Americans. Brother Branham says this time and time again. He said, I go in Africa, have one or two discernments, and the whole place fills in power of God, and everybody's healed. I come to America, and I can't hardly get anybody to do anything. You know why? Because we base too much on intellect. And if we can't get to our intellect, if we can't get entertained by the service, then we'll never put any faith into it either. Does this offend you? That preacher's just too boring for me. That one's just too loud for me. That one's got too high a pitched voice. That guy's got too low pitched voice. That guy's got facial hair. Didn't he read the quotes? Yeah, I did. And chances are it'll be coming back, just in case you're wondering. And I've heard people, just real quick, I just thinking about it, I've heard people go on that. Do you know Brother Branham said a man shouldn't shave up here because he can cut himself and really hurt himself up here on his upper lip? Look it up. People tell me that. And I'm not saying you can't shave there. That wasn't his point either. He was saying just to be safe. But people say you got to be clean shaven. It's like, what'd the Word say? Do we want to be like Jesus? Are we allowed to have a beard like he did? It's a shame, but I heard this from a brother. I don't know if it's for sure, but if it's just a shame. He said a brother came to him, the church where they believe every man's got to be clean shaven and things. And a young man even pointed out a picture and said, what about Jesus? You know what they did? At least this is what I was told. Like I said, I don't want to spread rumors or nothing. I don't even know what church it was. But they took the picture down. You see how easy it is to get so lost in a doctrine with no foundation to it whatsoever that you make irrational decisions to support your doctrine?
Sure.
That's when you know you're wrong. That's when you should not get offended and back it up and say, you know what? You might have a point there. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Wouldn't you like to see a church rise like that? It's going to.
Amen.
It's got to come. That's right. It's on its road now, I believe. Glory to God. For the Word identified Himself, what He was, and the same Word identifies us. See, if a man loves me, he keeps my commandments. And if he says he loves me and keeps not my commandments, that's all of them. He's a liar, and the truth's not even in him. You say, well, I don't believe all. Well, then you're just an unbeliever. That's all. If the Bible said so, that makes it right. That settles it eternally. What the Bible says is truth. People got their opinions. Well, they did this, they did that, and they're in, they're out. Look, the Word of God already does that. The Word of God proves you ain't got to kick one person out. All you got to do is keep preaching the Word. And that hypocrite's eventually got to get out because he can't stand that light too long. Why? The light will eventually expose his darkness, and he don't like that. That's the reason that the condemnation's still even in the world. It's not because God didn't provide for it. It's because men loved darkness more than light. And the Bible plainly tells us why. Because the man didn't want to fess up to his own sins. Because when he gets to the light, it exposes his darkness. A lot of times people will go to one church instead of another just for that fact. Oh, I just feel terrible all the time and this and that. But over there, I don't feel that. I don't feel bad. And then instead of realizing that there ain't a person in that building that don't like you or hates you or is trying to go to your house and expose you. It ain't nothing to do with any of that. It's the Spirit of God loving you. It's the Spirit of God seeing that sin in your life and trying to get you to make sure you don't get comfortable holding on to that thing that'll kill you and get you all shook up. That way you'll come back to Him and get it right. And then He can deliver you. Glory to God. These signs follow them that believe. And I've even, We had comments like that even sometimes. I think Brother Josiah might have said something like this. And I just got to preach my conviction on it. When he said, these signs follow them that believe, that it's more of just a collective thing. I don't quite go for that. And I ain't trying to interpret nothing. Just stay with me now. I believe the signs follow the Word. Amen. But it's supposed to follow the Word. The Word. The Word. The Word. And you say, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. If you can believe any of God's Word, you can make Mark 16 live. Yes, come on now. In my name they'll cast out devils.
Amen.
They'll speak in tongues.
Amen.
Oh, mercy and goodness. We said that in the message church. You ever seen somebody quote Mark 16? They'd like to just blow over that one. Do we believe in praying for the sick, laying hands on the sick, they'll recover? Well, then we believe in speaking in tongues. You believe in casting out devils? Then we believe in speaking in tongues. How about this? They shall take up serpents. And I believe that means if sin gets in the church, they'll take them by the hand and throw that thing in the fire like Paul did. They ain't afraid of serpents. I understand. I ain't talking about being no snake handler. But if it, like Brother Bram said, if you're in the line of duty and a snake bites you in the hand, keep on going. Throw it in the fire. It's the same as a Christian now. So you got to know you're a son of God, being led by the Spirit of God. That way you're not blind. I'm going to be preaching. You're going to be able to hold on? We're going to hold on. I mean, I know we're starting to get to 45, but I got to get to something today. We're all Christians, right? We all love the Word, right? Say, well, my back starts hurting. Well, just stand up and praising for a little while. That'll be all right. That'll loosen you back up. If Satan comes against you, we do that too many times. Oh, I'm going to go do this and get a headache and think, well, I must have missed the will of the Lord. If the Holy Spirit, once you know you're a son, you know you're being led by the Spirit, none of those things will move you.
Amen.
You'll know you're doing the right thing. And when Satan comes, you just take that serpent by faith and say, headache, get out of my body. That's right. They drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. How faithless of a generation we become. We're afraid of everything. You can't eat the bread, it'll give you colon cancer. You can't drink this, it'll kill you. Look, I understand being responsible, okay? I think we ought to take care of our tabernacle. I don't think we should just be a bunch of gluttons either. But I don't think we need to be afraid of old little thing that we, because my goodness, one person tell you coffee is the greatest thing in the world. Next guy will tell you, man, that stuff kill you right now and rot your teeth out. What are you going to believe? I believe what the Word of God said. Receive everything with prayer and thanksgiving, and it's sanctified.
Amen.
Just got to preach it, you know. You just got to stay with it. People get sick from food and things. The first thing I think is, did you even pray for it? And they'll say, well, you know, God might this or that. Well, He said that in the Word, that if I receive it with prayer and thanksgiving, it's sanctified. Like I said, though, if you're a glutton, you might get a headache, okay? I'm not excusing for something that He also said in the Word other places, but I believe that we ought to be eating sanctified things. I don't care what was in it before I got it. I got it now. And I'm a son of God, and I'm a mini creator, and I can literally change the molecules in this thing to make it healthy. I don't really believe like in a Cheeto into a carrot or something. But if they're going to hybrid every corn there is in the world, I want the original.
Amen.
And if I ain't got thousands of dollars to go get it anymore, I'll pray for this hybrid and God can make it that. Free sermon this morning. Hallelujah. The word of the age came when the seals were opened, Brother Branham. I mean, if you listen to tapes, it just changes everything. And it did. It changed all of history. It's the greatest event in modern times. We'll just put it that way. We think, oh, it's just a picture, and they want to say it's a rocket and all this stuff and make a fuss and stew and make comments like we don't really need, you know, the seals are just this deep thing we don't understand. That's a bunch of hogwash. God didn't waste His time coming and showing Himself in the sky just to give us some good doctrine. Without the seals being opened, the Bible is a sealed book, just as well as it was in the book of Isaiah, where He handed it to a man and said, I want to read this. He said, it's sealed. There's nothing we can do about it. But it's not sealed. It's open. Glory to God. And as we begin to open this Word, as God begins to reveal it to us, and I believe some of you that's been around longer than me, even though I feel the effects, it's different than it was 10 years ago. I'll tell you that right now. Some of you might say 20, 30, 40, but I just know in the short time I've been serving the Lord that the unction is on for the coming of the Lord. More and more and more. And yet at the same time, you feel the pressures of the devil more and more. And we think pressures are getting stressed out and things. Not necessarily. It's getting easy living. It's don't get too excited about this coming of the Lord stuff and just kind of relax and just flip to another channel, watch another movie, and just kind of sit there. Why? He's trying to lull you back to sleep. Why? Because the evening voices come. Amen. Wake up!
Amen.
The bridegroom comes!
Glory!
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus came to this same point in His ministry. He came to the point where He had to manifest who He was. He had been healing the sick, been discerning hearts, He'd been doing the signs of the Messiah all around. But at this point, at the end of His ministry, it was time for Him to show who He really was. The Son of God. God made flesh. God come to redeem mankind. Now, He was still a man, as we tend to forget that part of it. He was still a man like you and I. He was still a man that could be tempted by the devil. The difference is He was the Word first, so He never listened to it. He didn't pay it no attention. He had His eyes like a flint to the cross. He knew that's why, and that's from birth till He got there. Everything He was doing was knowing, are you a king? Pilate asked. He said, to this purpose was I born. But He knew He'd never be able to get on His throne with His subjects if He didn't die for them. Glory to God, the joy that was set before Him. What was it? That new Jerusalem with His bride right around Him. He was the one that had to make the propitiation for our sins. How did He do it? Let me read out of perfect faith. Jesus had perfect faith. He had it and it come because He was the Word. And you become the Word. You become the Word as you receive the Word.
Amen.
If ye abide in Me, and My words in you, My words, which this Word abides in you, then ask what you will and it'll be done for you. See? If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, but believe in what you've said, then you shall have what you said. When you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for and you shall have it. It'll be given to you. Time, space, nothing else will ever change it. You know it's done. It's already over with. Now watch. Now, and He said to us, if you abide in Me, and My words in you, St. John here, you can ask what you will and it'll be done. Then recognize your position in the Scriptures as a believer.
Yes, sir.
See, you've got to recognize your position as He recognized His position. See, the Son of God, as we said, the Spirit, He had to be a man. He had to have the same kind of faith you and I did. To believe the Word without sensation. Without something to give Him evidence. He believed it purely for the Word's sake. And He could go back. He said, I will not suffer My Holy One to see corruption. And the Messiah put His faith in that Word.
Amen.
Say, God put in faith? How do you think He made the worlds?
That's right.
Hebrews 11:1, by faith.
That's
right. And He believed that Word. That was really the only promise He had of coming back. I will not suffer My Holy One to see corruption. And He knew that that's in 3 days' time He'd have to come back. And He had so much faith in just one little verse of the Scripture that it led Him all the way to the cross. That's right. How about you and I? There'll be a church without spot or wrinkle. And if you can just get enough faith in that one verse, it'll bring to pass the Word of God in you. That's right. We've got to recognize ourselves as believers. But I warn you, Christian friend, if you do not have the Holy Ghost, you have nothing to even position you as a believer. You must be born again. You've got to know that you've passed from death unto life. That's why we've been hitting that foundation over and over and over. Because if we'll just get it right, the rest of it just starts coming.
Yes.
That's right. If you can just get a person to the real Holy Ghost, you don't got to go kick their TV out. You don't got to go get their pants out for their women. You ain't got to go making sure they don't have any hair clippers or cut their hair. You ain't got to do all that stuff that we tend to try to convert somebody with. Instead, you get them to God. And the Holy Spirit that taught you all things will begin to teach them all things.
Amen.
We have to recognize that God has... How much time you got left? How much? If you're getting tired, I mean, like I said, that whole first thing was all free, but now here's the sermon, all right? Glory to God. Jesus recognized who he was. He knew his commission, and he wasn't afraid to fulfill it. He didn't lack these things. He had the fullness of it. What do you think led him to the cross? It wasn't just faith. It wasn't just virtue. It was divine love that led him to go give his life for his brothers. And he even said it, no greater love is there, but then a man should die for his friends. And a lot of times we'll see that. And I've hit on this a lot. And we'll think it's some goal that's just never going to get there. I'm just never going to do it. God's just going to have to kill me or something because I'm just never going to get there. And we'll settle for a lower experience. We'll settle for a less faith. That, you know, I'm a son of God when I'm feeling good, but when I'm not, I guess maybe I'll just go to hell. I don't know. And how many times we let the devil talk us into those kind of conversations? God don't get no glory out of that. No, he either saved us or he didn't. His redemption's either 100% or it's zero. Brother Branham's about to have a prayer line at the end of perfect faith. And he begins to say this, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ that you come not in this line unless you feel that you've got that perfect faith. Because you're only taking their time, somebody else's time. Don't you do it. See, this is the point I was getting at. This was the time when the word had to be preached in its fullness, in its purity. And he said, look, this is the age of perfect faith. When you come to this line, we're going to lay hands on the sick. If you don't believe it, don't waste our time. Ooh. You get those looks and those crinks in the neck and everything else. Does this offend you? As long as I've preached to you, have I ever said one thing to you but what it happened exactly? The Lord did that. He did it not for me, I believe. He did it for you that you might believe that what I'm telling you is the truth. Now you believe it, it'll be all right. You'll get well when you come by here. Drop your unbelief right in this spiritual pocket down here. You won't see it, but it's there. When the oil touches you, drop your unbelief right there. Deposit that and walk away with perfect faith that you're well. Amen. That's it. That's what we're talking about. We've got to get to the point where the Bible said, beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. But see, too many times we let something get in our lives, and what does it do? It's a poison. It begins to take those things away. We begin to lack the virtues of God, and then we become blind. And we don't, and you know what it'll lead you to? You'll forget that you're even saved in the first place. You'll forget that you were once purged of your sins. Hallelujah. But in this age, just as it was in Jesus' time, it began to quicken the word for the age. It began, Jesus was done fiddling around. He'd already thrown his net out and pulled it in. But now it was the time to let the polywogs go back and everything. We're going to take the fish in. They'd already reaped the fields and they were getting it all. Remember, he said they're already white for harvest. He was out there reaping souls. And when they found weeds and everything else, they just shipped them off to the side to go burn them up. That was the age he was getting. But the word quickened the predestinated. It began to quicken Peter to believe the word. Even to where he still hasn't had the Holy Ghost. So he's not free from his sins. Do you understand that? That was a big dispensational change. Because Peter still had to deal with his doubt and blowing off his mouth and saying things he didn't really want to say. But God looked past all that and he knew who he really was. And he knew he had the revelation that you're the Son of God. You are the King of it. You're the Christ. He said that before the Holy Ghost. You know why? He had the seed. It was still there, but the potentials couldn't come out until the Holy Ghost came. And then the Holy Ghost came and it quickened the word and he began to take the keys that Jesus said he'd give to him and unlocked it to the Gentiles, to the Samaritans, and to the Jews. Come get the Holy Ghost. And then he came around here in 2 Peter and he found Christians that he knew were sanctified, Holy Ghost filled people. Yet he watched them. You're walking around blind when you lack these things. See, that's why I don't believe that you know, we've got to build up to getting born again. I've never been able to wrap my mind around that. I've never seen anybody do it. I've seen them all fail at trying to do it, but I've never seen anybody build themselves up to really get born again. No, you get born again by dying. There ain't no building about it. You got to die so He can live. We're talking about after that fact. We're talking about becoming the Word that you are. And in this age, it's not some meager manifestation. The ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ is one and the same. So we are called to live as He did, to be yielded as He did, to be able to say things like He did. How about this? Let's turn there. I got a little time. You all gave it to me. Sorry. John 10. Hallelujah. You all know I don't usually preach this long. Hallelujah. John 10. Oh, let's see where I want to start. 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That includes preachers too, brother, sister. Don't let some preacher pluck you out of the hand of God. You got the Holy Ghost, you're in. That's right. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There was the revelation. That's the revelation of the Godhead right there in one sentence. It was time to not dilly-dally around about it. This is the point where He said, I already told you. There it was. I and the Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I shown you from the Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered Him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. The revelation of the Word of God is what we were, even in this message, what we've been restored to. That God's Word was since the beginning. And it's always been there. And it's not just something that God created. It is literally part of His own being that He has placed somewhere else. And He placed it in every age. And for you to reject that Word is rejecting Him. That is His representation in every age. And so in this age, there's no other thing for Jesus to say but that He in the Father, the Word of God, had become flesh and it was standing there. And He said, we're not two, we're not three. I and the Father are one. When you see me, you see the Father. What did that begin to do? It's almost a surefire sign. If you got the real revelation of the word age, it'll get those religious spirits all riled up. They weren't just going to, have a little Bible study. They took up stones to stone Him. And they said, as most of us would probably say, what have I done? I've only prayed for you. Come on now. I've only been there for you when you needed help. And Jesus, I just raised the dead and healed the blind. And what good work do you stone me for? And they said, oh, it ain't that. We ain't got nothing to say against the healing or even the discernment, but when you get to this, Son of Man stuff, glory to God. When you, being a man, make yourself God, that's just too far. And there's a way to take that too far. It's called Catholicism. You become a pope where you ain't even a part of the Word, yet everybody's supposed to obey you like you are the Word. But Don't forget what we said earlier. There's no such thing as a perversion until there's a truth first.
That's right.
You look at things that the Pope claims to be, I've had to say amen to some of that. That is what I am. I am His representation in this age. I am standing in His place while He's gone. I'm the moon that's shining when the sun's not here. You are absolutely, but the difference is, I'm not shining some light I've come up with. I'm merely reflecting this light that was already given. And Jesus didn't just, go off the handle. He answers scripturally here. Let's read the next verse. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? Turned it right back around, didn't he? I said, Psalms 82:6, if you want to look it up later. It says, I said you are gods and you, all of you are children of the Most High. That's what Psalms 82:6 says. But Jesus says, is it not written in your law, I said, God said, ye are gods. How many gods are there? And if you look up, you might not believe me, but I know in Psalms 82:6, the word, when it says ye are gods, it literally means ye are Elohim. I believe in this scripture, when Jesus quotes it, because it's Greek, he's saying, ye are theos, which is the one and only God. So, who are you? People get mad. You say, well, I'm God. The Bible said I was. They say, well, you ain't saying it just right. I didn't ask you to say it just right. The Bible said it. I believe it. And I do believe it interpreted the way it was in this age. The way it was in Jesus' age. Absolutely. Is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. You can't just blow over the top of that. You know, they could have said, oh, that's just a psalm. That's just a song back there. No, that's the scripture. And if it's in there, you can't blow over the top of it. Don't give me your doctrine where it doesn't line up with the word. If it's wrong, you're wrong, buddy. I'm sorry, but I got a revelation that works from Genesis to the book of Revelation. You ain't going to talk me out of it because it's the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. You might think that's something else, but I believe I was with him right there. That was me. That's the word that was with him, but yet the word was still God. Absolutely. I believe that. I believe that's why it's put there. Absolutely. Because, yes, Jesus, we understand that was God made flesh. That's God's personality. You know, we're still his bride. You understand? I'm not going to go to heaven and talk to myself. I'm going to talk to him. And I'm going to talk to you. You know, we are attributes. I understand. I'm not him in that sense, but I'm the same exact life he is. And he decided whoever overcomes can come sit with me in my throne as I've overcome and sat in my Father. You the queen of heaven or not? Does this offend you? Glory to God. The scripture cannot be broken. Say of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent to the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. So this wasn't just some blind faith. It's like, who else raised Lazarus from the dead? He said, remember one time they said he cast out devils by Beelzebub. He says, then what? If I cast out devils by the finger of God, who do your sons cast them out by? If Satan's divided against himself, his kingdom would fall. That's right. Hallelujah. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought him again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. And I believe there's another time where it says he walked right through the midst of them. Why? He was God no matter what. He said, no man takes my life. You can't do it. It's just like Elijah when they were trying to find him. He said, I'll show you where he is. And they brought him right to him and they never knew the whole time that he was leading them all around. Why? Because they couldn't see. They were lacking these things and they were walking around blind and there's nothing you can do. Hallelujah. All right, I've got some quotes to finish up on. I'm talking about this revelation of the Word of God being flesh today, which is supposed to be you and I, brother, sister. This ain't for denominations, and I'll read that in a second. They won't touch it. They won't talk about it. They don't have a clue what you're getting at, just as much as these Jews didn't have a clue what Jesus was saying. But yet, he was right on the Word. Christ's mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham says this, the church is the blood of Christ by the Spirit, because the life is in the blood. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost that baptizes us into the body, that recognizes only his body, his flesh, his word. Denominations won't never touch that. It's a revelation. She knows it. So did Eve know it, but she fell. But this one knows it and won't fall. She's ordained. Hallelujah. She's ordained not to fall. She won't fall. She's predestinated to it. Blessed is the man whom God will not impute sin.
Amen.
You ministers know what I'm speaking of when a couple doesn't sit here. See, blessed is the man who will not, whom the Lord will not impute sin. David said that. So, or Matthew 5:48 says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And before this message, what did you do with that? He's just, you know, there's no way I could ever really do that, so I'll just keep on reading. Then the revelation came. Let me read you one more. Out of perfect faith. I'll actually just put some of this away. That way I stop. This is coming into that third pole. I'm believing it. Now I want to ask you a sincere question. You that passed, this is after the prayer line. You that passed through the prayer line, can you actually believe and feel now that there's something happened in you since you've had hands laid on you? Raise your hand. There it is. That is what we've waited for. Heard so many times. Where are the signs? And where's this and that? And yet God will just sweep right in, heal our sick, and deliver us, and do anything we ask. Because we ask in Him. He said, do that. Ask whatever you will, and I'll do it. And He does. And we say, well, where's God? Where's the miracles? That's what we've waited for. Now, this is just starting to bloom now. See, just started with, I did this for a purpose. I did this for a purpose. I'm working out something. See, it's taking this charge of faith and going right back to begin and come in. See, to kind of raise faith in a bracket where you've never noticed it that way before. Not a faith, but a perfect faith. Build it up in there and watch a perfect God with a perfect heart, with a perfect promise by His perfect Word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it discerns the thoughts of the heart. What? We're coming now to the perfection, because the people has to come to this in order for the rapture. That's what's holding it away right now, is waiting for that church to come into that perfect, raptured faith, looking for it. That means a lot of shaving down for me. And we'll say, oh, no, you know, we're waiting on brother so-and-so. Means a lot of shaving down for me.
Amen.
A lot of unbelief needs to get out of my experience. That's right. Means a lot of shaving down for me. It means a lot for you. But together, we'll make it. By the grace of God. Amen. A perfect faith, as I believe, is what is this right here, this pyramid right here. That faith that we started with produces a perfect faith, which will produce every attribute that God has in us.
Right.
To where whatever He says, we do. But faith works by love. How else do you get that to work unless it's perfect faith? Perfect faith will work by perfect love. That's exactly what led Jesus to the cross. He believed the Word, but without love to motivate, that Word can't come to its fruition. And if you're trying to serve God legalistically, ritualistically, because somebody else will say something, because it might make this person mad or that one mad, or it'll hurt my family if I do this or that. Come on now. You either do it because you love God or you're wasting your time. That goes from 5 to 500, however old you are. Everything we ought to do. I'm saying a lot of trimming down for me too. Don't let me act like I don't know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about, that God needs, He's got work to do on this boy right here. But there's one thing sure, I'm not going anywhere else. You're not going to convince me that there's Word out there outside of this message. It's not out there. You're leaving me on a rabbit trail. Lo, Christ is here and He's in the desert. No, I found a fountain of life. Now I might be too stupid to take a drink out of it every day like I ought to, but I still know it's it. I still know it ain't somewhere else. I got a few out of the church age book. We can stand. Just listen with all your heart. In every age, we have the exact same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area. And then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all of those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. 1 Corinthians 14:37, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What came the word of God out of you, or came it unto you only? They add here. They take away there. And soon the message is no longer pure and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice. For the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. I believe that with all my heart, that this word produces the revival for the bride.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, when I see people that try to give me their interpretations, I said, that's fine. Believe what you want to. But then you watch the revival die. There's no reason to discuss anymore. If you were still in the Word, the revival wouldn't die. Why does it die? And I'm talking about a real spiritual revival. You know what a spiritual revival is? People get right with God. People believe God.
Amen.
People get healed. The signs follow the believers. God is able to move in His gifts that He's placed in the body. That's the revival for the bride. It's not some big show. But you'll know that you're one with God.
Amen.
I've got one more here. God help us to live this. Yes, sir, the church is no longer. He's talking about Laodicea, and I'm wrapping it up. Is no longer the mouthpiece of God. It's its own mouthpiece. So God is turning on her. That's the false church now. When you take on your own word, you're no longer the true church. But the true church is God's representation because she's saying the same word. All right. God is turning on her. He will confound her through the prophet and the bride, for the voice of God will be in her. Yes, it is. For it says in the last chapter of Revelation, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Once more, the world will hear directly from God as at Pentecost.
My.
Amen.
But of course, that word bride will be repudiated as in the first age, which is the greatest sign. You're on the word. Right. Amen. Now He has cried out to this last age. You have the word. You have more Bibles than ever. But you're not doing anything about the word.
Uh-huh.
Except dividing and hacking it into pieces. Taking what you want and leaving out what you don't want. You are not interested in living it, but debating it. I would sooner you were cold or hot. If you were cold and rejected, I could stand it. If you would get white hot to know its truth and live it, I would praise you for that. But when you simply take my word and don't honor it, I, in return, must refuse to honor you. I will spew you out for you nauseate me. That's the point I'm getting to. Does that offend you? That this is it. This is either the Word or it isn't the Word. That we were in the age that Brother Branham said we were, that the Word said we were. We sing it dead.
She is my everything.
Go ahead. This is all for me.
She is my everything.
Thank you, Lord. Either this message is right, or, and not just partially right, it's either all right or it's all wrong. I ain't talking about little nuances. Brother Bram, remembering things, or I'm talking about the revelation that God gave us is either it or it isn't. Does that offend you? If you don't have this revelation in this age, you won't go in the rapture. Does that offend you? But by the grace of God, if you got the Holy Ghost, we're going to make it, brother, sister. And if it's a day of shaving down, don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about what we're doing after church right now. Say, God, you know my soul. You know my heart. You know I want to serve you, but I'm looking around at my life. And I see where I've let the devil in here. I've seen where my joy's been stolen here. I see where I'm fed on this thing, and it's just making me sick. Maybe not physically, but it is spiritually. Feel that atmosphere begin to change. What is the Holy Spirit coming to quicken the word of us now? I've spoken it, but I'm not in charge of service. The Holy Spirit's here. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you, Jesus. Each one. Hallelujah. What a presence. What a consistent presence God has been giving us, even in this little group right here. Just goes to show it's not Brother Andrew. It's not even Brother Branham. He's been dead 50 years. It's Jesus Christ. the same yesterday, today, forever. Taking this word that was spoken, the eternal word of God, and manifesting it right here amongst us. Hallelujah. As the Holy Spirit begins to move, He's already moving on some of you. I don't want you to doubt that. Don't wait on Brother Andrew. If He's moving on you, you begin to yield to that. You begin, some of you might need to get right. Go ahead and get right, right now. Just start getting that out. Get that unbelief out of your experience. Hallelujah. Get to where you know who you are. You know who He is. Say, Lord, I've been lacking things, but I can't get it nowhere else. I've got to come to You. Fill me, Lord, that I won't be blind anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you just for a second to stay in a heart of worship. We put our hands down because I want to ask a few questions. Hallelujah, Jesus. No looking around. This is a very sacred moment. Brother, sister, if you don't know that you're born again today by the Holy Spirit, baptized by the Holy Ghost, and you want to be, you raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm here to receive it today. Now, get the faith, perfect faith. God, this is Your promise to me. It's mine. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Get that foundation laid just right, brother, sister. Remember Lee Vale? The Holy Spirit gave a vision or a dream, I believe, and told me you need to tear his foundation down and get it built right. He said, I'm here to be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been baptized in His name, you've repented of your sins. Don't let the devil ever take that promise from you, church. It's yours. You've done what the Word told you to do. There's no more for you to do but to believe it and accept it for yourself. And trusting you are born again, the Holy Spirit's just wooing all over this place. If you just look at yourself and say, Father, I feel I've lacked these things. I feel I've walked blindly because I haven't had the faith I ought to. I've fed on other things and it's taken my virtue away. It's taken my patience away. I'm just off the handle all the time. I don't have any temperance. I just say whatever my mind says and not check it out with You first. That's you, brother, sister. Just raise your hands to Him and say, Lord, forgive me. As I raise my hands, I'm accepting my forgiveness. And I'm asking You, Lord, to fill me with the right virtue. The right knowledge, the right temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and just kept me all off with Your love. Just let me get so lost in that love that everything else begins to fade away, Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you, children. God bless you. God give you your desire today. He promised it. He said we grow by His divine promises, these precious and great promises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let that perfect faith begin to settle. Let the unbelief begin to get just thrown in the trash down here and just a vat of God's blood in a sea of God's forgetfulness. And let that perfect faith rise that God brought me to church today, even just for this moment right now, that I could receive this. And I wouldn't have to be, you're not going to leave the same. I'll tell you that right now. You'll either be a better Christian or worse. There's no in between, brother, sister. Accept it with all your heart. As God begins to move on your soul, be careful to thank Him and to praise Him and appreciate Him. He's worthy of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just want to have a short word of prayer all together. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this assembling of the saints and bringing Your word to us today. I believe I'm in the congregation of soft hearts, Lord, that's been changed from death unto life. And the word they might not totally understand, but they believe it, Lord. And may You bring it to pass in every life that's here. Take away our confusion, our doubts, all our trying to figure it out, Lord. May we just get so lost in the love of God, love for our brother, love for You, that we'll just believe all the word. Whatever You say, Lord, we believe it with all our hearts. Let that atmosphere now that's here, right in this building, may it fulfill Your purpose in our lives. Thank you for coming, Lord. We appreciate it. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We lift your name up. Father, I thank you for speaking today through me. Thank you for faith that you've put in my soul to just trust you. You know what to say and when to say. Commit the service to your hands now and the word that's been preached. May the Spirit now quicken it by the water of the Holy Ghost into every soul where the devil can never take it away again. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. As the atmosphere is here, thank you, Lord. I want to do just like the prophet did. I believe they anointed with oil, but I just want to lay hands. If you got faith in Mark 16, you're sick in body and soul, spirit, whatever. If the devil's got a stronghold somewhere in your life, would you come forward with perfect faith and say, Father, once hands are laid on me, I'm laying down this need. And I believe you fulfilled it for me. Hallelujah. We've got one brother. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If there's anyone else, there's even the slightest doubt, just drop it. Don't bring it up. Say, Lord, I'm getting it all out right now. Once it's on me, it's over. It's not Brother Andrew's hand. It's the Word of God that's coming here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're fine, if you're in the joy of the Lord, will you get in that atmosphere to help these people and believe with them? Say, Lord, I believe. I trust you. I believe with them, Lord. Keep every devil out of their mind. Keep every influence away from this place. Hallelujah. I believe in that. We're a body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We've got four souls up here. Let's believe it now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your healing. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your healing. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your healing. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, what a presence. Glory to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, just start worshiping. Don't hold on to any of that sickness or pain or frustration. Just let it all just fall. And just get in that joy, that guy on the inside that just loves the Lord and wants to shout and praise and lift up your God. Just go ahead and be that guy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just quench us, Lord. Glory.
This thirsting of my soul.
Soak you. Thank you, Lord. Let him pour it all over you as he's here now.
Oh, here's my cup.
Jesus, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Thank you, Lord.
Ooh.
praise him now.
Grateful.
Just
you're right.
If you appreciate him, can you just tell him for a little
Hallelujah,
bit?
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, if he's healed you today, if he set you free,
thank you, Father.
Give him a little worship.
I praise you for your
Show him your adoration.
I thank you for the Holy
Glory
Ghost.
Glory to God
Lord,
in the highest.
Thank you, Lord, that I have a rapture
thank
to go
you,
into, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
To see you and be with you, Father,
praise
and love
name,
you and worship
Lord.
You.
Hosanna
lay my hand
highest.
Down on the lap of Jesus
glory,
Christ
glory,
and say,
glory.
I love you, Father. I love
praise
you, Father.
God.
I praise you,
praise
Jesus.
Be to God.
I praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, blessed
thank
Father.
You for
glory to you, Jesus.
Thank you,
praise thy holy name. Praise thy holy
up,
name,
Lord.
Jesus.
Glory
I love you
God.
With all my heart, Father. You
thank
are my
you,
everything, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
As the prophet asked the question, how many can say you feel the effects of the Word of God today on your soul? God bless you. There it is.
Amen.
Manifestation of the Word of God in our day. Hallelujah. I just get to just praise Him forever. Well, I will one day.
Amen.
I just praise Him forever. Hallelujah. Don't get boring. I just love it. Well, I don't really know how to dismiss today. Praise His name. Praise His name. Believe the Word of God, Christian. It can't be much longer. Hallelujah. Don't be easily offended. Just stay right with the Word. Say, Lord, wherever you are, let me be there. Wherever you're going, Jesus, let me go with you. If I got to go alone, let me go alone. If I can bring somebody, let me bring them with me. But Lord, I'm not leaving you. You promised to never leave me or forsake me. I'm not leaving you or forsaking you, Lord. Are you in love with the Lord Jesus today? Let's give a hand clap of praise for Him. Thank you, Lord. Glory! Thank you, Lord. Friday night, communion service. I really don't know. We'll have any guest ministers in April. We'll see what the Lord has. But it'll be on the calendar here on Wednesday night. Anybody's welcome to come and wants to have communion. It's a prophecy that we have open communion. You don't have to be a part of the church necessarily, but be a Christian. Yeah, don't come with sin, shame, and all that. You be a Christian when you come to communion. It's a showdown. I believe that, but really every day is a showdown. You go to bed with sin still in your heart, brother, sister, don't live like that. God don't want that. You should always come back to the Word. The Lord, cleanse me, sanctify me once again today. You know, don't get weary in well doing. Just keep serving the Lord. So God bless you today. I think we're just going to be going out to eat, so there's no real fellowship announcements. But we love you. We appreciate you. Thanks to all those that made it. Those that visited, thanks. We appreciate that. God bless you today. Go ahead, Dad.
Oh, it's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun. Upon the tree, He shed His blood.